You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
They're saying I should think stuff. Something is wrong with me.
Practice.
It's another month. It's another episode. Actually, it's another week. It's another episode of Positive Cynicism. It's another month for my co-host who will be joining me after the commercial break. But first, we got to get the plugs and pay the bills and do all that stuff out of the way. So, as a reminder, jitterymonkey.com, your place for all the podcasts here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. There's a little button over there called Shop. You can buy t-shirts, mugs. If you have toddlers, we have clothes for them. You don't want a naked baby. It's not a good look. I don't care if you're just at Walmart or where you are. Put clothes on your baby, and it'd be really nice if they were Jittery Monkey clothes. And then you can find us on Twitter, at Chad Smart, and the rest of the Jittery Monkey crew is also at Nerd United, at My123Cents, at Five Heart Pod. I believe that's the Five Heart Podcast Twitter handle. You can do a little search and find out. That's all things jitterymonkey.com. Here's a commercial break for a commercial to tell you to head to the lobby, pick up some snacks, and we'll see you on the other side with a bunch of overrated cinema pulp.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat.
The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Yes, you will be singing Let's All Go to the Lobby for the next, like, 5-6 years. It is such an earworm of a song. As I mentioned before the break, I am joined once again this month by Eric Bennett. He is back. Last month he was on the show. We discussed underappreciated movies. And Eric, first off, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
My goal was to watch at least one of your movies over the last month because you had some list that of movies I've never seen. So I want to see how good they are, because, I mean, half of them starred Anthony Hopkins, who is an incredible actor.
Yeah, I got caught up in I named a lot of Hopkins movies. I think my entire list was Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, if you would have just thrown on a Bo Hopkins movie.
Next time.
But we're going to, I did not get a chance to watch one. I've been watching too much television, binge watching across the various streaming platforms. But I did see that, I believe, The Bounty is on Amazon Prime. Still not a sponsor of the show, but they should be. Magic is on Shudder.
Ooh.
And I think the other ones are available elsewhere. But if you missed that episode, go back in the archives and check it out, because Eric did have some really good films on that list. Well, I say really good. I'm assuming they're good. He recommended them.
Oh, no, they're perfect.
And they are movies that I've heard of, so that's a plus.
Good, and I have to do the same thing because I have your list written down, and I have been busy working overtime at work, but I am going to watch your list as well. So we'll have a little get-together on that when we have a couple under our belt.
Sounds good. But this month, we're flipping the script 180 degrees. Instead of being underappreciated, we're looking at movies that are overrated. And once again, we didn't put any criteria on these. I don't know what's on Eric's list. I haven't told him what's on mine yet. So it's all going to be just whatever films we felt were overrated. And I'm sure, Eric, you have a lot of movies that you feel this way.
I do. This was interesting because I love the topic, and I was a little guilty of recent memory. So, of course, like, I saw this film last week and it was overrated. So I have a little bit of a mix of the old and new. And I'm sure if I would have, like, looked on the internet a little bit longer, I would have come up with the all-time examples that bother everybody. But these are the ones that I saw where I just was like, what is up with that? And everyone was talking about it. Maybe an award was won. So my list is kind of a mix. And when I give you my list, it won't be, this is the you know, the one that least bothered me, and then the last one will be the one that most bothered me. I'm just going to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. Same way, we're just going to throw out movies at random. And, yeah, I did actually look up overrated movies online just to try to find some websites to get an idea to see if I agreed or disagreed. And there's one website, I don't even remember which one it was, but the movies that were listed, I'm like, who is overrating these films? Because they're all movies that you've heard of, and they're, I'm sure, have their fans, but they're not like movies that everyone is talking about.
I had the same problem. They were listing Star Wars 1977. It's like, your list is invalid. That's not an overrated movie.
Yeah.
They list The Matrix, which changed technology in cinema. And most people are a fan of that movie. Really, that's an overrated movie. And I think some of these are younger writers, so they're going back and going, what's the big deal with this movie in 1977 mm-hmm. or 99? And that's always a wrong way to approach it. An overrated list, I think, is appropriate for somebody who was there when it happened, and it was like in the... Like, to go back and view something with your sensibilities now, we did a podcast on that as well.
Yeah.
That doesn't work for me. So a lot of those lists, I agree, were bogus, but it did give me a few ideas.
Yeah. And I mean, I will, you know, piggyback off that idea that in film school, like every film class I took, we watched Citizen Kane, which is mm-hmm. arguably one of the best films ever made. And it's not one of my favorite films, but I can appreciate, again, what it did at the time that it was made. All of the things that are now standard, you know, depth of field, ceilings in shots.
Yeah, tracking shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, the story just doesn't appeal to me in the modern age.
Yeah, I agree. The first thing you have to start off with when you evaluate these movies, and this will also be for our list, is that I was there for these movies when they were a big deal. I didn't rent the movies. I don't know if this would be on, I doubt this would be on your list. I didn't rent these movies that I heard were great and go, oh, these are overrated in a snarky fashion. I was in the movie theater for these movies as they came out. So I think I gave them a fair shake. So I will put that out there.
Yeah, and I you know, to follow that up, it's also movies that, there are times where movies will set, I guess, the template for movies that we see now. Mm-hmm. And you can look back at 48 Hours and Lethal Weapon that kind of made that, you know, buddy cop formula, which is now very... formulaic and just overdone. And so you watch, if you hadn't seen those movies and you go back and like, yeah, there's nothing new to this. Well, there's nothing new now, but at the time.
It was a big deal. So you'd have to talk about it or talk to someone who saw it when it was out.
Yeah.
And that's what my list is. So if you want, we can jump into it.
Yeah, go ahead and we'll start off this time with your list. So give me your first overrated film.
Well, I'm going to get crazy. I'm going to give you one that is not even on this piece of paper that I thought of at work today and on the way here. And I'm like, I'm just going to say it. So this is a free, this is a bonus round.
All right.
And I'm going to start with the bonus round. I'm going to have to say Top Gun. I got to throw it out there. I don't know if the listeners will remember. I don't know if I've mentioned it. Maybe that's why they can't remember. But I'm not a big Tom Cruise fan. So I've liked him here and there, like in the first Mission Impossible and some of his other movies. But this movie bugged me, and I don't know if it was 85, 86, something like that.
Somewhere, I think 86.
86. I was a sophomore in high school, and he was super cool and super hot as far as, you know, his acting reputation and all that. He was the it boy, and it's slick as hell. He's like a total douchebag in this movie, and then there's a little bit of like him reforming himself in the movie or becoming a better guy, but I don't like anything about this movie. Like, it's so cheesy, and I think when people like say how cool it is, they're like referring to this dopey volleyball scene or like some of the monikers of the pilots, and there's Iceman, there's Goose, and there's all these really funny moments in it. But it wasn't funny at the time. It was like you were actually supposed to think it was cool. So I remember as a kid watching it or as a young man watching it and just going, I don't get it. Like, he's kind of a jerk. He's a jerk in most of his movies. And then he's like less of a jerk when it ends, and he's very selfish. And the whole thing is like cut like a music video. And I believe the Navy like loaned out, you know, jets and a lot of cameras. So there's a lot of cool shots of them flying around and stuff. But it's just, there's not much to it. And for some reason, everybody loved this movie. And then Val Kilmer was a big deal coming off that movie. And obviously Tom Cruise's star expanded even more. But I can't even get very specific about it other than I just don't like this movie. Like, I watch it and I go, I don't like these guys. I don't like what they're doing. I don't like the way they treat women. They do stupid things that endanger people's lives. And it's not that exciting. Even the action sequences get a little bit like I don't know what's going on sometimes. So that's what I came up with on the way here, but I'm not a big Top Gun fan.
One of my favorite stories about Top Gun is they were shooting out on the naval carrier, and the sun was on one side, and the director wanted it to be on the other side. And okay. So the director's Tony Scott, brother of Ridley Scott, big name director.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. And he asked them to turn the ship around so they could get the sun on the other side. And whoever was in charge of the ship's like, it would cost $20,000 in fuel to turn the ship around.
Wow.
And apparently legend is, he whipped out his checkbook, wrote a check for $20,000, and they turned the ship around.
Okay. Well, that's more interesting than what I saw in the movie. There's more depth to that story.
But I am with you on this one. I did not like Top Gun when I saw it as a kid. I tried rewatching it probably about 6-7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Could not finish it. I just do not understand the appeal. And Tom Cruise is very hit or miss with me.
Yeah.
I like more of the action, the Mission Impossibles, like mm-hmm. you said. But yeah, I just, this movie, I'm with you. Totally overrated.
Yeah. Again, we were there when it dropped. I'm assuming you were in the movie theater when it came out.
I saw it on video.
Okay. But it still was kind of something that everyone liked. Yeah. So yeah, that's my first one.
All right. My first pick I'm going to go with is a movie, and I'd plan on starting with something else, but because you've already mentioned this film, I'm going to bring it up. And it was a movie that I'd kind of forgotten about until I actually got a Facebook invite from you for an upcoming screening, and that is The Matrix.
Oh, wow. Look at how this podcast has turned. You turned it on its ear.
And it's not that I find The Matrix to be a bad movie. It's a very serviceable film. And like you said, it did reinvent special effects, which I think is part of what I find overrated, because bullet time became, you know, it was in everything. It was in Shrek. It just got overused. And I just remember, like, when this came out was at the start of, like, the DVD revolution. Mm-hmm. And so this at one point was the highest selling DVD. And it seemed like all my friends who were still in college at the time were like, oh my gosh, Matrix is so awesome and so great. But I like the story. I didn't find it to be that good.
Mm.
And then they made the sequels, and I think that kind of tainted the originality of The Matrix.
It helps your case.
And then I'm also going to say that maybe I don't fully understand The Matrix, and I get confused. But I do like Keanu Reeves. I'm one of the very few people, but I like him unironically. I actually enjoy most of his film performances.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, like I said, it was good. It was a good action film. Just when I walked out of the theater, I was like, that's a fine movie. And I went on with my life. I didn't become obsessed with it.
Didn't blow your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really surprising, because I think when it came out, I want to say the box office wasn't that great on it. Mm-hmm. I think it did find life on DVD and repeat viewings, and it did kind of become this cult phenomenon. And now everyone kind of holds it in this high regard. And there's some stuff that's really uneven about it. But I think the technology, the slow motion, I think Yen Wo Ping did all the wire work and the running up the walls and sideways stuff. And I was a big Kung Fu fan, so everything in this movie was technology-based. There's a lot of reference to, like, gaming, and then there's also hacking, and then there's the Kung Fu elements, which I grew up on Shaw Brothers stuff. So it was kind of hitting everything for me. And I was kind of surprised that they greenlit some kind of cyber action movie with all these influences from the East. And that was pretty different, because if you look at Ghost in the Shell and some other things, they've been flopping on some of the stuff. They don't always cross over. So for them to make something this kind of, it's almost like a Japanese movie. It's so crazy. I'm a little bit shocked, because when I got out and I saw it on, like, I think it had been out for a couple months and it still had life in the movie theaters in Seattle. And then I saw it with Brett, my friend Alex, and we just freaked out. We're like, we've never seen anything like it. I think it might have been the visuals. So I think that's the emotion I just hold on to for. But as far as it's an interesting question about how overrated it is, because people really talk about it like a Star Wars. And I don't know how to rate it other than the weekend I saw it, where it was like sky high, and I've never come off that high watching that movie. So, like, it's almost like a personal overrated for me, whereas I don't know if it appeals to everybody. It didn't appeal to you. So that's an interesting one.
Well, like I said, I enjoyed it. I just didn't, because, and I think this is where we go with our what qualifies as overrated. Like, at the time, all of my friends were like, this movie's awesome. It's so great. Mm-hmm. We The college TV station that I worked for when I was in college, they showed it, and it was like every time we'd put it up for like a late night poll of what movie do you want to watch, it was winning, and people were just enamored with the film. And I was just like, it's good, but it's not great.
Yeah, that's a bold one.
So
I'm gonna take that one on the chin.
Yeah, I think most of my list is going to be films that, again, not necessarily critically over acclaimed or box office. It's just people that I know talk about them a lot in high regard. So.
Yeah, with a lot of hyperbole as well.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Gauntlet Throne.
All right, so now what are you going to come back at me with that it's going to break my heart?
Oh, I'm going to save a couple of these. I've got this one is, you know, my goal on this podcast is to upset as many people as possible. So I'm just going to throw a huge punch here. I'm going to mention Captain Marvel.
Mm.
So if you went on the internet, there you would just see people acting like this was the second coming of a Wonder Woman movie, which I really love Wonder Woman. I thought this movie was a disaster, and I could do an entire podcast on this movie. But the fact that it's making $1 billion, and to me, this is not a good movie. So this is massively overrated. This isn't just kind of overrated. This is a movie that doesn't work very well. Some of the things I've noticed, it had a bad script. The CGI looked unfinished. It looked like Marvel's B-unit did the CGI. The action scenes, they look weird when she was running and fighting. And you could usually hang your hat on that for Marvel. That wasn't working. Brie Larson was kind of all over the place. Have you seen it yet?
I have not seen it yet.
Yeah, it's not even a rental for me. It's certainly not go to the movie theater. The bad guy you see coming a mile away. And one really curious thing is that everyone talks about the cat in this movie. And you can't have a movie, like an origin story movie or any movie, where the cat is upstaging the movie. That tells you something about this movie. And it's got all this messaging in it about female empowerment, which is important. And Wonder Woman did that really well and didn't really beat you over the head with it. I think this is too on the nose with that. And they show Nick Fury a lot in this movie, and he gets a lot of the big laughs and clapping in the movie theater I went to. So even that was a little off-putting, a little bit strange for me. And then the movie's making $1 billion. So if I'm going on box office, and granted, Marvel can make anything, make Plastic Man or... Mm. I'm sure that's a DC character, and I'm going to get killed for saying that. But they can make something really silly, and it would do $1 billion. But Captain Marvel is one of those movies where everyone's telling you it's important, it's great, it's you got to see this multiple times. I think it's like a failure for Marvel. It's something I would have expected them to make 10 years ago when Iron Man 2 and 3 and Thor 2 were being made. Like those kind of movies where you could just kind of get through them and slap someone's name on it. That's what it felt like. So that's my... That's my pick, and I'm sorry to the viewers, but you just got to take it.
Okay, I have not seen it yet, been waiting, but I'm glad you threw that in there, because the movies I was going to lead with, I was going to throw down the overrated geek element off the top, and I put two movies in together because I figure they're both kind of overrated for the same reason, and those are Wonder Woman and Black Panther.
I have Black Panther. Okay. So tell me.
And I liked both of these films. I thought they were perfectly fine, acceptable films. I thought Wonder Woman was a great retelling of Captain America, First Avenger. I thought Black Panther told a good story and had good acting. But I think because Wonder Woman was the first female-fronted superhero movie, and Black Panther is the first African-American-fronted movie, they get kind of held in higher regard just because of... I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but because of that.
Yeah, it's kind of like this added, you know, sensationalism surrounding the movie that isn't necessarily every part of the movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of an add-on. It's an important element of the movie.
Yeah. Like Black Panther, probably one of my favorite Marvel movies of the last 5 years, but not a Best Picture nominee film by any chance. I still think my problem with superhero movies, and we've discussed before, I'm kind of superheroed out because they all follow the same formula. They all end with a third act CGI destruction porn battle.
Yeah.
And especially when you're having two characters fight that are CGI and the weight isn't there for the characters yet. So you can look and be like, yeah, that looks like a video game.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest problem with both of these movies. And that, and the, like I said, the fact that both are regarded just because of the,
and the cultural sentiments of the times. Yeah.
I'm going to use a term which I probably should not, but it's kind of like the SJW aspect of it, the social justice warrior. And it's like, oh, let's make these movies mean more because it appeals to this identity political factor that we can lump on it.
Yeah.
Like you were saying with Captain Marvel, where it's like rah, rah, because Wonder Woman's female, because Black Panther is, you know, an African-American, where you look back, and I think you and I had this discussion when we talked after you saw Captain Marvel. You look at a movie like Aliens, where Sigourney Weaver's character is a badass, but you don't have to tell us that she's a badass every 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's never mentioned.
Yeah, or...
Same thing with Terminator.
Yeah, and the only movie I can think of as a African-American example is Shaft, and I'm sure there's a ton more better ones to think of, but same thing, where it's just, you don't need to tell me, if the person is a badass, or if it's good, you don't need to tell me about it every 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think you're touching on, I don't like a lot of politics going into a movie, and I want the movie to stand on its own. I think the Black Panther is really good in the sense that I don't feel like they really hit you over the head with it. It's based on this, you know, obviously the civilization that is kind of hidden away, and they're very technologically advanced. There's a lot of statements about, you know, colonial power and like what it would be like if that didn't occur. So that's all just really cleverly done. So I agree with you that it got magnified, that part of it, more than it needed to be. And I think the movie stood well enough on its own.
Yeah.
My problems with Black Panther are exactly the same thing. I could not stand the CGI in this movie. And it took me out because they're CGIing a human being. And if you look at what the Russo brothers did in Civil War, Black Panther was amazing in that. Like, it was a real stunt actor and probably a martial artist in a suit, cat suit, doing all the fighting, and it looked incredible. Then you go to this movie and they're animating him, which I don't understand. Like, you have to animate a gymnast? You don't need to animate that. So it took me out of the movie. And that and Wonder Woman had this disastrous third act, which turns into a big CGI battle. Mm-hmm. Which is horrible. But Wonder Woman earns so much for me going into the final kind of dopey act where she fights Ares that I was just totally on board with it. So Wonder Woman is like one of my favorite superhero movies because I love her in that role. The suit, the World War One stuff. Mm-hmm. I love Chris Pine, the Amazon Island, all of it. I was just totally down with all of it. And I thought Patty Jenkins didn't hit us over the head either. So I'd have to disagree. I thought Wonder Woman was a game changer. Yeah. I thought Black Panther was kind of, I would agree, it's kind of your standard Marvel movie, and they forced, I think, Ryan Coogler to give us a very conventional story at a certain point, and he had earned a lot in the first half that just kind of fizzled out for me. Okay. So I would agree on Black Panther, absolutely.
All right. Yeah, and again, I like both of these movies. I just found them to be a little overhyped or overrated, I guess, due to their nature of the being the films that they were.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely on Black Panther as well. So I guess I'll throw one in after you laid a haymaker. we're going to make sure that everyone that loves these movies just like tunes out. But no, stay with us because I'm getting a little bit out of the superhero genre. But you know what? I'm just going to offend more people here. I would say most Tim Burton movies are overrated. I don't know what's going on with Tim Burton, but this guy has made so many bad movies. And not only have they been bad movies, they've been bad movies that are like destroying my childhood. He's single-handedly ruining my childhood because he is this goth guy that has the keys to the Disney vault. And by all accounts, from people I've talked to and reviewers, even some box office numbers, he's ruined Dumbo. How could you ruin Dumbo? Dumbo's a flying elephant. What would you have to give an audience to not like Dumbo? He's a cute creature. Everyone loves elephants. Everyone loves magic of a flying elephant. Somehow he screwed that up. He screwed up Planet of the Apes. He screwed up Sleepy Hollow. He destroyed Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I would argue, and this is really going to piss everybody off, he screwed up Batman. Mars Attack was another disaster. I could go on. This guy has not... He's made a couple good movies here and there from the 90s on, but he hasn't made a good movie since like 92. And for whatever reason, it's like you can't criticize the guy. Everyone keeps going, but he did Ed Wood, and he did... And I think that was in the 90s. But like... He did Edward Scissorhands, and he did Batman 86, and it's like, yeah, but he did all those other ones.
And he did Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, so they're always going back to this diminishing return thing where he was good back in the day. And I go, but the scales have tipped. They have tipped badly. So I was going to mention every Tim, and I mentioned all the ones I didn't like, but I wouldn't delve into it other than say that I don't like his aesthetic. I don't like his dreariness on some of Disney's, like, you know, bright palettes, and I think it's time for him to quit. Either make a different genre of film, disconnect from Disney, and become that indie filmmaker that he used to be. you know, he's done some good stuff in the past, but it's been decades that he's been going downhill. So that I would say any, I shouldn't say any Tim Burton movie, any Tim Burton movie in the last 20 years has been horrible for the most part.
I am with you. I think for me, the last good Tim Burton movie was Sleepy Hollow, and that was 99.
Yeah.
Did you see Big Eyes?
Big Fish?
No, Big Eyes.
Oh, no, I didn't see Big Eyes. Was that good?
I only saw like 20 minutes of it.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, and Big Fish was okay, and I probably need to watch that one again. Because I've only
seen
it once. I liked
half of that movie, yeah. The fantasy parts.
But there's a YouTube series called Honest Trailers.
Oh, I love it.
And recently they did the Honest Trailer for every Tim Burton movie.
Ooh.
And it's, watching it, you realize like, I mean, there are some aspects that I know are just in Tim Burton movies, but I don't realize how much of his movies are so similar.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I mean, I enjoyed Batman, but I wasn't a huge Batman. I mean, my knowledge of Batman before the film was Batman 66.
Mm.
So I wasn't a huge Batman fan.
A way better film than Batman 86, by the way. Way more entertaining.
Yeah, Pee-wee's Big Adventure was the first movie I ever rented when we bought a VCR.
Beetlejuice is great.
Beetlejuice is good.
I have to give you that one. But we're talking about movies in the 80s now.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking, we're almost like heading towards 2020 here.
Yeah,
you know,
again,
he's been bad for a long time.
Yeah, 99 is the last good
movie
that I would give to Tim Burton. So.
And Dumbo is like, well, this is not a very original thought. Dumbo has everyone's heart. I am a huge fan of Dumbo. So I am, again, appalled that he got the job. And I was hoping he'd turn it around. And then I found out, nope, he did it again. He just can't, I don't know. I'm not going to go on about it. But Tim Burton movies are overrated. That's what I'm going to say.
Well, I'm curious about Dumbo because the original is 62 minutes long.
Yeah.
And there's a quote, I'm going to butcher it, from Walt Disney, because they tried to get him to extend the movie and make it longer. And he's like, there comes a point in time you can only tell a story for so long, and then you stretch it out and dissolve the story or make the story it falls apart.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm curious with Dumbo, the movie, I believe, is like close to 2 hours. And it also has human people, which, to my recollection of the animated, there is no main human character.
And how does he not get that? Like, with the classic Disney movies, the point of these movies is that they were aimed at children, obviously, for the most part. And they work fantastically, like Pinocchio, for adults as well. And I would argue Dumbo is pretty much a kid's movie, actually, but so is Bambi. There's a little bit of adult themes, you know, Bambi's mom gets shot and all that stuff. But the idea was that if you notice in the classic Disney movies, the humans are relegated to the background. They're like shadows, or they're like legs, or they're like voices. And that's when cartoons are done right. So when you adapt them, you have to keep that. And for whatever reason, he has a stable of friends or big name actors. He feels like he has to expand their parts. And then all of a sudden, you know, I haven't seen Dumbo, but maybe he shrinks in the background and I'm hearing it's mostly a people movie. That's not Dumbo. Yeah. So don't just pass on the project. You can tell I'm just very upset with Tim Burton. So, Tim Burton, you've got me mad, so you can send angry emails to Chad. And he'll forward them.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, @ChadSmart.
Yeah, Tim Burton, bring it.
Oh, we can reignite the Kevin Smith-Tim Burton feud.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I'm going to switch gears. We'll go, you went, you know, a kid's film. I'm going to go a non-kid's film. And this is a movie that I watched for the first time probably 20 years ago and fell asleep to. And so I've had no desire to ever go back and watch it again. But at least when MTV Cribs was still on, this seemed to be like the movie DVD that everyone had to own. And that's Scarface.
Oh, man. Chad, you are just shooting so many missiles at me right now. How dare you?
I don't get the appeal of this film.
Disclaimer, this is not a kid's movie.
It's not a kid's movie. But
it's the opposite of that.
And I especially, looking now at Al Pacino, so you go back, you know, you look at what Al Pacino is now, compare him to what Scarface is, and he seems very over the top in Scarface.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it's just,
over the top, awesome.
I just, you know, Oliver Stone is another one of those hit or miss directors, and this one, I can't.
So what is it? Like, so... This movie, I don't know if this movie did a lot of box office because it had an X-rated cut, then it had to be cut down to an R because of a chainsaw scene, and then Cuban Americans were boycotting or like threatened to boycott the movie. This is what, 83 something?
81 to 83, somewhere.
Yeah, maybe early 80s. I'm kind of surprised, but then again, I was listening to, I think the movie has gotten a lot of play after it came out, another one of those because of the street culture and the rap game, because everyone references, you know, outlaws or gangsters. Yeah. And he's like the epitome of a gangster. So for me, it's just got me sold on that level. Like how much killing he does in the movie and how much he sticks up for what he believes in. And it's just insane. It feels like the people who made the movie, and Oliver Stone was on cocaine when he wrote the movie. He actually rode around in cop cars. He rode around with drug dealers making the movie. So the movie is over-the-top cartoonish, but there's also a certain realism to some of the total crime waves that were hitting Miami and the drug trafficking that was going there. So I love this movie. I can't like sit down and watch it all the time, but I love Manulo in the movie. Stephen Bauer is awesome. I don't know what you think about him in that movie, but
I saw this movie 20 years ago, and like I fell asleep. I think that's part of the problem. I think the movie is too long.
It's pretty
long. Could have been tightened up. But
Brian De Palma?
You know,
really,
he's made some good films, but no,
this wasn't one of them for you.
Oh yeah, he directed. For some reason, I was thinking Oliver Stone.
Wait, you didn't finish the movie, so you haven't seen?
No, I did watch the whole. I mean, I watched the whole movie, but yeah, I just after hearing about it for so many years, finally seeing it, I didn't get the appeal.
Well, I think I'll just reference one other thing. I think the appeal for that movie is that there's not a lot like it, and that obviously didn't do it for you, but. I think you watch Scarface and you're like, how did that movie get made? And nobody would make a movie like that now. Because the level of anti-hero that guy is, like, can you name a movie where a guy does those things and is quoted as much and is referenced as much in music and t-shirts? And there's just something about the character he created, but it is wildly over the top. So I actually get why it doesn't resonate with certain people, because it's so weird and extreme and cartoonish in a way. So... Wow.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to, like you said, it became that figure of the rap culture or just the culture of excess and culture of like the cool anti-hero before you had Breaking Bad, before you had other Don Draper and Mad Men. Like before the anti-hero was cool, you had Tony Montoya.
Yeah. So, interesting. Wow. You got me floored, but I think I can punch back with one. Well, this is one you're probably not going to like. I'm going to have to throw out Gravity.
Okay.
So, and this one really hurts because I love Alfonso Cuarón. I had Roma is on my top five movies of the year, and I own Children of Men. And I think he's a fantastic director, and this was a real misfire. And you bring up Gravity to people, and you get some very weird that's a weird one to talk to people about. And the whole camera is spinning. Have you seen it?
I have.
So, I saw it at the Chinese Theater, which I think is the technical... supreme, you know, location. If you're going to go somewhere, technically supreme location, if you're going to pick one movie theater in Los Angeles, that's the one with the most technology, best sound, best picture. And it had a great picture and great sound, except the camera was spinning the whole time because they're on a spacewalk and the space station is, you know, flying around orbiting the Earth or whatever, and all the space junk is flying around, and the whole movie, there's nothing to it. It's like she doesn't come off as much of a scientist, which really bugged me. She's screaming the whole time, and granted, she's under a lot of duress, but it's kind of like dumbed down science mixed with her jumping around, trying to get from one point A to point B to point C so she can avoid junk that's rotating around, and then it ends, and she gets out of it. That's the movie. There's nothing to it. It's a tech demo, and I was really disappointed with it. Thankfully, I think the movie's pretty short, but it's really... It just did not do it for me. And if you talk to people, they still go, oh, I love that movie. And it's like, was that even a movie? It's like an IMAX tech demo. So I have Gravity as... I got to throw that one out there.
Yeah, I'm with you in regards that... I mean, I enjoyed the movie for what it was, but I got annoyed about halfway through the film because everything just kept going wrong. Nothing could go right. It was like, oh, this goes wrong. Okay, now I do this, and this goes wrong, and then this goes wrong. And comparing it to The Martian... which in the book is kind of the same way, where all this stuff goes wrong. And thankfully in that movie, they cut a good chunk out and didn't have so much breakdown for him.
Yeah, the technical stuff.
Yeah, but then Gravity, yeah, like you said, it's a great film to look at, but there's not a whole lot of substance there. And Sandra Bullock, you know, I think she's a wonderful actress and can hold a movie on her own, but... this movie is, she's playing second banana to visual effects.
Yeah, and then George Clooney's in it, and he's like the best character, and they get rid of him right away.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. So, again, it's not something that everyone's talking about now, but think about it, at the time, everybody wanted to see this movie, and people were acting like it was great, and I just thought it was overrated. So yeah, that's
why we're talking about gravity. It. Yeah. All right, well, since I've been pushing you on the ropes for the most of the show, I think I'm going to go with the 1-2 punch right now and see if I can just knock you out.
Oh, man.
And,
I'm so nervous.
These are two films that, again, made by directors that are very hit or miss for me. And one I tried watching recently, and I left halfway through the film. I just couldn't take it. And it's Raising Arizona and The Big Lebowski.
Hmm. No, you've scored one. You scored a major hit.
Okay.
Raising Arizona, that's the hit you scored. The Big Lebowski, no, not a fan. So tell me what you think.
Yeah, Raising Arizona, I don't know what it. For some reason, I've never gotten into this film, and I tried watching it. In the theater recently, there was a screening, and I walked out about halfway through because I think it was the characters. I just didn't care for them. I didn't want to listen to them. I was like, just get me out of here. And so I've never seen Raising Arizona all the way through.
Ooh.
Never been able to sit through it. And then Big Lebowski is probably a victim of my contrarianism to where it became this huge thing before I saw it. And I had a couple friends that became the dude. Mm. And it just kind of killed the movie. And I saw it. It was fine. But I never need to see this movie again. And like I said, the Coen brothers are very hit or miss. I love Fargo. Love The Man Who Wasn't There. I thought it was really well done. And Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? But these two, No Country for Old Men, one of the worst movies I saw of the year.
I should have mentioned that one. Oh, that would have been perfect for this list. Yeah. Well, you did mention it.
Yeah, we did mention it. Okay. But yeah,
I'm with you on the. I'm totally with you on the Coen brothers. I want to see the Buster Scruggs. Mm-hmm. It's like some mini anthology of like six stories, and I'm hearing some of them are really good, but then some of them are really bad, which kind of sums up what I think about their movies. And what was that one they did in Hollywood? I asked you about it last time.
It was Hail Caesar.
See, I like that one a lot. Okay. I thought that was really cool, especially living here. That was interesting. But I did love Raising Arizona because I love Nick Cage. So for me, sometimes it's just buying into, and the fact that he's just that crazy and does that many crimes and steals a baby and all that, like, I thought that was hilarious. And I like all the side characters. And sometimes the Coen brothers get crazy like they do with the Big Lebowski, where the side characters become kind of like, you just have to find them funny, otherwise the movie doesn't work. I didn't like the Big Lebowski at all. And I love Jeff Bridges. And I don't know if it's like, you know, popularizing stoner culture, and I think that's a big part of it. I don't find, just this one aside, I don't find any movie about smoking marijuana that funny. The only one I found funny was Pineapple Express. For whatever reason, I love that movie. But
no Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle?
I never saw it. Huh. I never saw it. But usually these movies are just like people get stoned and then they do stupid things. They don't know what they can't find their car, and it's just not that funny. But I think that's interesting. But I do like Raising Arizona because I saw it at Hollywood Forever, and I really appreciated it there. For whatever reason, I must have been in a good mood. Big Lebowski, saw it once, never want to see it again. So that's a good one. You almost knocked me out, but
okay.
I have to agree with you on the other one.
All right. Well, come back at me. There's got to be something more on your list that I'm not going to agree with you on.
Yeah. Well, you know, you like to talk about a lot of positive subjects. I know this is more of a negative podcast today, but I'm going to have to throw out the hate right now. I hate this movie, and it's overrated. This is the worst type of thing because it's not only overrated. I've gotten huge arguments about this movie, except I've been winning them all now because people have come over to my side. It just took a long time. This movie won an Oscar. Crash. I hate this movie. I hated it when I was in the movie theater. And I had to watch the Oscars, obviously, because I usually do. I always do. And it won Best Picture. It's the ultimate insult to movie fans. And have you seen it?
I have, and I am with you 100% on this.
So this is a dreadful, politically correct, like absurd intersecting storylines with dopey identity politics and ridiculous circumstances with soap opera acting and writing. Everything is so rankly amateurish about this movie. And I hate everybody in it. Everyone's a jerk. Everyone's like, and then they find out that if I'm a bad person, but if I find out someone who doesn't look like me is also a bad person or a good person, then I can become a better person. It's got white guilt flung all over it. Everyone who came out of the movie theater was like, this movie is so important. Like, it's like going to fix everything. I mean, this movie is a disaster. I cannot stand this movie. It's pandering. You know, there's some, if I remember, there's certain sequences where like Sandra Bullock is insulting her Latino like domestic worker, and then she has a sexual assault that's done to her by a cop, but then they have to save the cop, or the cop saves her. They're just randomly bumping into each other and saving each other's lives, and everyone's crying in slow motion. I just cannot stand this movie, and that's the one that I have the most hate for on this list.
I am with you. I've seen this movie once and thought it was just so pandering. Yeah. You said, and it just how it won Best Picture, which, I mean, this is probably another discussion we could have some other time, but I don't think there's, with the exception of possibly Lord of the Rings, which I could have put on my list.
Mm.
I don't think there's one Best Picture winner from the 2000s that will hold up in 50 years.
Well, we have to look at that list. That'd be an interesting show, is to talk about, we should talk about what won, what we thought, and then also what should have won. That'd be interesting. But I agree with you. We just had the Green Book. Mm-hmm. Really? That's the best film. That was better than Roma? Okay. No, it was not better than Roma. I would have loved to have seen Black Panther beat that one out. But yeah, so it's crash for me. This is a crash and burn for me watching it.
I don't have much to say because, again, saw it once and just did not like it and have tried to forget about it ever since.
Yeah, I'm sure the viewers out there will understand. It's like, you ever watched the movie and rolled your eyes from the first, like, 2 minutes of a movie, and your eyes just kept rolling back and forth in the back of your head? That's what this was like watching it for me.
All right. I've got two left. And so this one, what I'm going to go with, it's, again, this is a movie that I think just, for some reason, like, everybody that I know seemed to love this movie. And when I finally got around to seeing it, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand the appeal. It's a movie called Boondock Saints.
Oh, it's bad.
And if you have not seen Boondock Saints, do not watch Boondock Saints. Go find the documentary Overnight Sensation, which is about the guy who made Boondock Saints, and watch that instead and see what a huge douche he was and how he burned every single bridge in Hollywood before his movie became a cult hit. And so that when he eventually made a sequel, he got no rights out of that movie because he had pissed off everybody.
Wow. Refresh memory, was like, that was about a bunch of hitmen, or what was that?
It's
about?
Like Irish Catholic hitmen. It's
like, it's a criminal Sean underworld, Patrick, right?
Flannery, I believe.
And everyone's like good looking and younger.
Yeah. Well, except for Willem Dafoe. Willem Dafoe's in there, and Billy Connolly. And
was the guy from Walking Dead in it? Norman Reedus?
I don't know.
I think so. I'm a fan of The Walking Dead, so I saw an episode and he met up with another guy that was in Boondock Saints. Okay. And I was reminded about how much I hated that movie. But I saw it in Seattle at like a $1 movie theater. Okay. So I think it was like on its second or third run. And you know, Seattle at that time was grungy and like what was this movie, in the 80s or 90s?
This was early 2000s, I believe.
Okay, yeah. So it was one of those things where it was playing and it was like, I don't know, it was hip or something. We were all told how cool it was. And I was like, there's nothing cool about this movie. But I totally missed the boat. I don't know if the soundtrack was supposed to be good. I didn't like the soundtrack. I'm with you. I couldn't stand that movie.
Yeah, I just, like I said, everybody, or a lot of people that I know really love this movie. And when I was living with my cousin, he had it on DVD. And so we put it in one night. And again, by halfway through, I'm like, what am I missing? Why is this movie so beloved? And I guess I was maybe too old to be. Because I think it really appealed to the Hot Topic clientele.
I guess. I think you had mentioned it with the 2000, you know, the 2000s Oscar winners, that Boondock Saints will not hold up. If you think you like that movie, I would say, Chad, you probably agree. I challenge you to watch that movie again and like that movie. You'll probably be rolling your eyes.
Yeah.
Good one. Well, I only have one, but so I guess what we can say is we've irritated Matrix fans. Black Panther fans, Captain Marvel, Wonder Woman, Scarface. We are literally going to lose all viewers. So I figure we might as well just go for it.
Okay.
So, no, it won't be a Star Wars movie. That would really irritate some people. But I'm going to mention a lot of Clint Eastwood movies as being overrated, because I don't think Clint Eastwood can direct. And I'm just going to throw that out there. So we got to throw out Unforgiven. Everyone likes Unforgiven. Everyone should like Unforgiven. It is awesome. It's the anti-Western. It's fantastic. It's a genre changer. I don't know how he got everything right, probably because he did Westerns his whole life. And the movie's amazing, and Gene Hackman's amazing. I love everything about it. He's great in Clint Eastwood. I don't like Million Dollar Baby. I didn't like the abduction movie. What was the one in Boston?
Mystic River?
Did he do Mystic River. Okay. Even when I saw a trailer, and I haven't seen The Mule, so I got to be fair about that. I haven't seen that one. There was another one, the Get Off My Lawn movie. With the
Gran Torino.
Yeah, that was horrific. I don't like his aesthetic. I don't like his... He doesn't cut any scene. Every scene runs way too long. Everything's center frame, which I do like Kubrick when he does that. But he has this very vanilla way of directing. And everything is really hammy, Oscar-baity, lingery. And the pacing is horrible. And there's just something about his movies that I don't like at all. So if I see his name, much like if I see Tim Burton's name, I'm always disappointed. There's like almost no exceptions. So it's not really fair to him, but like these movies that are coming out that are more recent that he's done, I wouldn't know if they're good or bad because I just see his name. I'm not watching it. I've been burned. You ever been burned by a director a number of times? I've been burned by him so many times, like Tim Burton. After four or five times, I can't trust you. Maybe the Coen brothers are like that for you now, where I've been burned by them a number of times. But I'll throw out Million Dollar Baby and Mystic River and whatever else. The Gran Torino is like, I can't believe these are Oscar nominated or winners, I think, in some cases. And all these nominations come out of these movies, and they're not good. And they're really hammy and slow. He's a real slow director. So, yeah, Clint Eastwood for me.
And Million Dollar Baby was written by the same guy who wrote Crash. And they went back-to-back years.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's all making sense.
Unforgiven is a movie that I saw, didn't really care for, and then read the screenplay like a year later and really loved the screenplay. And so I'm like, I want to go back and rewatch it. But again, something in that translation from script to screen just did not
jump out to me.
But again, I mean, the acting is great in the movie because it's Eastwood, Hackman, Freeman. But yeah, the story itself. I don't think he directed it. But In the Line of Fire, I think, is a really good acting film for Clint Eastwood.
Okay. Did he do American Sniper?
He did, which that I did not see.
That wasn't too bad. You know what? I'll give him a little bit of that one. It wasn't anything. Nothing he does I want to watch more than once. Mm-hmm. But that one was okay.
Like I said, the fact that shocked me when I found out a few years ago was Clint Eastwood has directed more movies than Steven Spielberg.
What?
Because Eastwood, much like Woody Allen, does like one film a year.
That's right. Yeah, he cranks them out.
Yeah.
He cranks them out, and I'm never there to see it anymore.
So,
but yeah, I'm just like Tim Burton, this is a lump nomination for me.
All right. Well, do you have any honorable mentions before I throw out my last one to really piss everyone off?
No, I kind of showed the golden egg early with the Top Gun. So that's just the one I kind of freestyled.
All right. Only one that, again, it's a very serviceable film. I just don't think it deserves the praise that it gets. It's a holiday classic. It's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, man. Now you've really knocked me out. I'm just going to let you talk. I'm done.
I mean,
you floored me.
I saw this movie in the theater, and I enjoyed it. But again, walked out of the theater, went, okay. I'm good. And somehow that has become like such a tradition and a quotable film. And I think other than Randy Quaid's famous line when he's emptying the sewer, you know, from the mobile home.
Esser is full.
Yeah. There's just nothing in this movie that screams need to watch this every year at the holidays. And I mean, even the original Vacation, I'm not a huge fan of. And European Vacation is quotable for like three lines, and that's about
it. I'll give you European. No way Christmas.
What about Vegas?
Oh, God, that was terrible.
Yeah.
I felt so bad that, well, they agreed to it.
Right. Yeah, so this is just a movie that, I mean, if it's on, if we're having a get-together and people want to watch it, I'm not going to object or walk out, but it's just not a movie that I will put on voluntarily to watch at any time.
I like how zany that movie is. So, like, there's a scene where he's almost, like, having an affair with this beautiful woman at a department store. And then, like, he comes out with this fluid and he ignites, like, this crazy sled. And the movie just, it reminds me of those typical 80s movies where there's, like, no rules, like Better Off Dead. where it's like, oh, I thought it's something funny, and this stuff must not have been registering for you. But I like that there's just no rules to it. And then it had some kind of a statement about, like, how Christmas has all these things that you need in place for it to be great, and Clark Griswold is trying to assemble the perfect Christmas. So it's like, he cuts down a tree that's like 60 feet tall or whatever and jams it in, and his boss won't give him a bonus to build a swimming pool. I'm actually surprised, but there's a lot of nice touches in this movie from John Hughes that very controversial. I think if you would have said that around the holidays, you know, we would have shut, the FCC would have shut down your podcast.
Probably so, but hey.
Comedy's subjective.
Yeah, and again, there's stuff in there that's funny. I just don't find it to be, like, this and Christmas Story, I guess, are the two go-to holiday films, it seems. And because Christmas Story is on 24 hours for, like, the last 10, 15 years, that movie's been killed, you know, run into the ground. But Christmas Vacation, I just, you know, I guess I could have gone with Elf if I really wanted to put a holiday movie on here.
I would put Elf on the list.
But
well, now we're turning into like how much I like Christmas Vacation, but I just have to change your mind on this. What I like about Christmas Vacation too is it has a statement about materialism, which I like in the Charlie Brown cartoon, which is, you know, this isn't that original. A lot of Christmas movies has touched on people that have money and people that don't, you know, Christmas Carol being, you know, a prime example. But the whole idea that Clark Griswold is trying to assemble things, and he thinks he has to have the biggest lights, the biggest tree, he's got tons of presents, he got to buy tons of presents for Cousin Eddie. Then it all falls apart, and he feels like Christmas is falling apart. And really, he just had to turn around and realize he was driving his family crazy. They were driving him crazy, but they have each other. And there's like a kind of a sweet message to Vacation. It's subversive, but I've always found the first two really good in terms of the writing. But again, comedy is subjective. The jokes probably weren't landing for you, so.
Yeah, and I think it's also my contrarianism to where everybody loves this film, so I have to say it's not that good.
We'll seek you. We'll get help sought out for you for that.
So anyway, that's going to be our list of overrated films. Let us know what you think, and you can tell me how wrong I am on Christmas Vacation.
Please.
You can find me on Twitter at ChatSmart, Facebook.com/PositiveCynicism. PositiveCynicism.com is still a website. I haven't done much with it this year, but hopefully that will change. And JitteryMonkey.com, all the places you can find us. Check us out. Until next time, Eric, thanks again for a great discussion. This one was a blast.
It was fun. It was lively.
Yeah. And as always, question everything, including my dislike of Christmas Vacation. Do something positive.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.